Valley. She's Fionna Osborne, and this is Inside Exec. Today we're going to explore, and I'll be very careful about the words I use, because we're going to explore milestones and mapping. I am not going to talk about goals.
But I am.
If you get a word in, you will. For all of my working life up to this point, I've probably worked with milestones as a phrase and as an idea. Recently, it was introduced to the idea of mapping rather than milestones per se. And I really quite like the approach that mapping takes. It seems to allow for more leeway to be creative about what you're doing and how you're going to get there and to bring in the resources. So the idea of mapping is that you have a straight line, and at one end you put the situation that you are in now, and at the other end you put the situation that you would like to have, or the object of the exercise. And the map in between are all the things that need to happen so that you can move from one position to another. Where for me, when I'm using that approach these days, it really does give me an opportunity to have a list almost, and I do love a list, always have. It means that I don't forget things along the way. I'm not just looking at the things in terms of milestones that have to be achieved, that would be a mark or a measure, and perhaps that's a throwback to quality system days where we had to have the test on the stop point and the test point before we moved on to the next thing. But this way it gives me the little things along the way, the map things, and it doesn't have to be a straight line. You start with a straight line, obviously, to put all of the points in, but a map means that if you hit this obstacle, then you can go around it and do these other things. And so it gives you the opportunity to travel the path of the project or the activity that you're doing without it being hard and fast. If I don't get to this point, then I have failed. Or if I get to this point and I can get no further, what am I going to do next? It just seems to alleviate all of those issues.
I see that we can use all three, including the word G, that goals, that Kim doesn't like. So, for example, if we're going on a trip, my goal is to be, I'm in Sydney, my goal is to be in Brisbane by next week, for example. So, then how do we use what Kim just talked about? The mapping, if you like, is roughly what's the direction we're going to take. Are we going to take the coastal line? We're going to do a combination of coastal, inland, etc. We can look at that again. What I like about the mapping as well is that while you're designing that, you might have an idea, but the fact that you're not tying yourself, as Kim said, is really good, because you might come up with a new idea that you haven't thought about till you started your journey. Mm-hmm. You might see information that can lead you to planning another trip or changing the direction altogether. The milestones is, to me, are very, very important in mainly the celebration sense. I want to know we reach certain milestones so I can celebrate it. A lot of people do it, as Kim said, maybe punishment, or I haven't made that, so I must have failed. I don't like that. I like to know that, yeah, look, we're here ahead of schedule, and now I've got another half a day to do nothing or to explore or whatever. So if you look at it that way, you could see the application of any of those tools or thought processes. But the most important key one in the mapping is, for me, is freedom. Freedom to think beyond your initial plan.
I think it does. If you're looking at creative activities, I think it does allow people to be far more creative than the milestone model. The analogy with travel is a really important one, because we all can understand that, and we all take on a different thought process when we think about travel. Now, I'm about to head off on some travel, and I could look at the travel as being, I need to travel from here to Canada to Barbados. Then they are the milestones, and that's the starting and finishing point. But the opportunity, when I think about the map that I have to follow to actually cover that distance, means that I have some layover time in Canada, and it's different time going and coming back And so it's going to give me the opportunity to do some other things that I would not normally have thought of, and to a certain extent that I wouldn't have considered because I'm focused on the end point rather than the process. And so in broadening the process that I'm going to undertake, I may well come away with more information, more resources than I would normally have had I just followed the straight line path that I'm going here and here and here and that's it, and not and put the blinkers on and not looked beyond the path that I'm on. So the travel map, I think, is the best way to go for creative teams, creative activities. I understand that if you've got something that's far more precise and process-oriented, that perhaps you would want to look not so much at the mapping model but more at the straight milestones and the goal at the end, if you have to.
See, she said it, yay, I like it.
She wasn't committed to it, she said it.
Now, I want to take the mapping in relation to a project. I think if you look at it, it's super important because in travel, you could be traveling with others, but you could be traveling alone. But when you're working on a project, invariably there's more than one person involved. The map is a fantastic way to see the overall idea of the travel, how you're getting there, whatever your project is. But it also helps clarify everybody's part of their input into that project, what their function is, what they bring to the project, and roughly how it interacts with other parts and the interdependencies. So then I know that, yes, I might take it easy on the goal or on the timeline or whatever you want to call it as subsection of the project, but I really can't stretch it too much because it's going to affect the other person who's got to do something else. And therefore, seeing that map helped me see not just me, but everybody else's roughly the direction and the plan and the timeline. And this way, it would help then get it right the first time by start talking about it. So you could do, say, look, here it says that we need 3 weeks to do that. And somebody else says, well, actually, I saw something on the market that can bring it down to 2 days, whatever, helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Another one could say, well, actually, I've been through this before and that piece is probably underestimated. However, if we did something else, so again, collaboration and innovative thinking and thinking outside the box and a set path, as in the past when we says, this is what we'll do, we regimented about it, and you do this by then and you do that by then, people became very task-oriented. But in this case, the mapping allow people to input throughout and find the best solution.
Mapping also doesn't have to be just the one path. The same as we would look at a map of New South Wales, if we were travelling from here to Canberra, we could go down the main freeways and there would be tolls involved. So there's an additional cost involved, but there's a time saving. Or we could go the old Hume Highway and have the scenic route and have 10 times more the sets of traffic lights getting through Sydney.
Yeah.
So there's pluses and minuses with that route. But if you've got alternatives, when you use that mapping model, you've got alternatives so that in the event that you decide that perhaps for that activity you'll get the train instead or the bus instead, that you've got all of those alternatives that you can consider when you're looking at the most efficient way to get to that next destination point in the map, and then looking then at the resources that are at that destination point and whether that you can bring in those to assist with whatever has to be done for the next part of the journey.
It also allows you to respond to, if I can use the word, obstacles,
mm-hmm.
unforeseen obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in a travel sense, you've done your homework, you talked to people, you checked up Trip Advisor, you've been yourself on that journey, you talked it through, but guess what? When you actually start your journey, you figure out, oh, you know what? There's road closure, and that road closure was either for repairs and maintenance or special events. So, again, to be able to respond really quickly about an alternative, be able to respond to that. If I talk about a project or something you're doing in a corporate sense, then a lot of times says, yes, I know we signed off on it. I know we accepted it. But guess what? We now have a freeze on resources. We have a freeze budget is no good. What does that mean? Do you have the whole motivated team going, oh dear, and getting depressed about it? Or do you say, what can we do? As Kim said, what alternatives, for example, do we not take the tollway? Do we go another way until budget is there? How do we utilize the resources that we've got now, and how we get free resources, or how we get resources? And in the past, we talked about having people on work experience or executive development schemes of whatever sorts. Again, getting people involved. Again, the word freedom keep coming to mind because it encourages you not to see just the obstacles and not to see just one direction, but to look for anything that will make it a better journey.
And it's resourcing as well. It means that you can be creative about the resourcing of a project, that if you've got a time saving or a cost saving that happens in one part of your journey, that you've got that in buffer, I guess, for some other part of the journey, so that when you get to the destination, you're either ahead of budget or you're ahead with your resourcing, and that is another cause for celebration. And it also reinforces the usefulness of using that mapping model rather than anything else that might have been used previously. I really do think that it encourages a team to work together better because they're all looking for the best way to get things done rather than we have to do this thing next.
I'm now going to introduce another one of Kim's favourites in here, and it's communication. Now, having this process and the mapping will make it so much better to communicate within the team, across team and across the organisation, because people often say, well, I haven't seen anything, I haven't heard anything, and the team is working like you wouldn't believe. Communication doesn't then become, oh, I've got another task called communication. Communication can be sharing a map.
It also comes into its own at the end of a project where you can look back and review it, or where you can share it with others who might be looking at similar projects in the future, because you've got a map that shows where the bumpy road was, where the smooth road was, and the alternatives that you hadn't thought of at the beginning of the project that actually allowed themselves to be included during the project. There's far more information, I think, that is remembered and put down in the records rather than the straight line of, oh, we went from here to here, and yes, it got done, and just don't talk about how it got done, but it got done. And really, unless there's something that is completely out of the ordinary in a crisis sense, you wouldn't record that at the end of a project. You would just say, yes, the targets were met. But if you've done the map, then everyone's travelled that path with you in the sense that had input at all sorts of different levels, or they feel they have, because it's been a more collaborative approach. And so they're more inclined at the end of a project to be wholehearted about their review and to tell you what they felt worked or where. In fact, if they went that path again, they might travel a different way.
If then you get feedback as a result of communication during the mapping or during the project itself, I think even if it seems irrelevant at the time, it's worth capturing. We're going to be talking more about innovation and strategic thinking in another session. But again, never turn away any idea, no matter how it looks right now and no matter how irrelevant it looks, I bet it has a use somewhere along the line.
And so you can introduce a Fuliana exclusive and have a parking lot. You have a parking lot for your ideas.
It's not a Fuliana exclusive. Fuliana learned it from other people, and parking lot is very good for me. So we'll
share
that.
It's so interesting that she has all these analogies and she doesn't drive.
That's why I'm so good at it.
But yes, I like the parking lot idea. It's a place where you just put these ideas, you park them.
Yes.
For future reference.
Yes.
And maybe they get pulled out and put into general circulation, and maybe they don't. But you don't get distracted by trying to think of them or trying to remember them while you're on a different, or in a different vehicle, we should say.
Yeah, or just dismiss something that is a very, very useful for you and your organisation but the timing is not right. So when you resurrect something from a parking lot, you could resurrect it within the project or after the project, or hand it over to someone else who's working on something similar.
And even if it doesn't appear, I think particularly if it doesn't appear feasible at this point in time, they're the ideas that you need to get recorded. Because if you listen to any of the great innovators that we have at the moment, they will tell you that whatever has suddenly become popular or able to be done in a technological sense was something that they started working on when they didn't even have the technology that would be able to do it. So you've got to allow any idea to be recorded, because you just don't know when the situation or resources will be available to actually carry that through. I think we've covered that mapping and milestones topic pretty well for you today, and I only had to say the G word once, so I'm going to finish now before I have to say it again. I'm Kim Bailey, she's from the Unrolls Board, and this is Inside Exec.